Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. It's the Conference USA Report Podcast, episode 17, for week 5 of the 2019 season. A terrible season. Conference USA is down across the board. And if you maybe held out hope that that was not the case, and you know, we just had to see, you know, one more game, one more set of matchups. Well, how about Marshall at home against Cincinnati, North Texas at home against Houston? Those are rough. Before we get into it, ladies and gentlemen, let me just thank you for listening. I know we have quite a few. I want to thank everybody for listening, and I want to ask you to go out there, subscribe if you haven't, let somebody know about the show. All right, go to iTunes, leave a 5-star review, leave a comment, leave a review there. We really do appreciate it. And beyond that, be like some of your fellow listeners and readers and subscribe. Become a member of ConferenceUSAReport.com. That is as easy as clicking membership and selecting the annual or the monthly options. Conference USA Report is, what is it? Is it a publication? Digital media? It is an endeavor that was born out of, do we want to call it frustration? I think we've all been there, right? We've all watched Conference USA teams be the second banana here. And as many of you know, I began MeanGreenNation.com a number of years ago, kind of for the same reasons. I wanted more coverage, better coverage of the University of North Texas. I started doing so. I moved down to San Antonio. I wanted better and more coverage of University of Texas San Antonio. So I started was it Cooler Chronicles, what was originally Coca Chronicles, and then we got bullied by the AD. Said, don't use his name. Don't use the coach's name. And then I moved on, just kind of doing MeanGreenNation.com full-time. I was one of the earliest writers on Underdog Dynasty. I left that for a lot of reasons, but one of which is I think that grouping all of the G5 together is just as bad as kind of forgetting them. I think you can focus on the conference. It's a logical domain to care about, and I don't see a whole lot of conference-wide coverage across a lot of, I would say, website endeavors. Some, you know, a lot of amateur folks have given it an effort, and we try to support some of those. But I wanted something that took it a little bit seriously, that, you know, wasn't just looking for clicks, that wasn't just building lists, that wasn't just firing off hot takes because that's what you saw on ESPN. So that's what Conference USA Report or CUSAReport.com tries to be for you. It is a one-man operation at this point in time, right? I mean, the original plans were to have three or four other folks. Other things happened to them in their lives, and they couldn't join the endeavor as it was, but it's fine. As many of you or some of you know, I'm a software developer, web developer by trade, and so I know how to keep some of these things, not costly, right? Keep the cost low. But that isn't to say that these things are inexpensive. You know, the more people listen, ironically, the more it costs me. So, I mean, support the show if you want to continue this level. And, you know, like I said, I got to decide every week how much I'm going to devote to, you know, support of the site, making it, you know, available, how much I'm going to support writing, watching games, breaking down some film, talking to, you know, hither and thither, athletic directors, trying to do a little reporting. All of that takes time, right? And I got to choose which amount of time. We have paid some freelancers in the past, photographers, writers, some of your favorite writers also. And we want to continue doing that, right? Because I don't think that, you know, one person has all the answers for this league, although we try to have the best coverage as we can do with just, you know, one-man shop. So we want to expand that out, and we want to pay people fairly. And to do that, we need revenue, right? We need people supporting it. And I don't want to spend time selling ads. I don't want to spend time, you know, putting obtrusive things in your face. We don't have, like, say, SB Nation, like Vox or something like this, you know, investor capital, just giant gobs of money to throw around and to use basically free labor to generate clicks and things to sell ads. We don't do that, right? We try to keep it simple, straightforward, pay for this, you know, at a cost, a price point that we think is pretty low, but that is enough that, you know, it is useful to us. So go ahead, smash that subscribe button, and support the site. That is enough of that. Let's get down to what you care about, right? You care about this week's Conference USA report. So let's do it. Let's just go down the list from what I think is the number one team in the league right now in terms of power rankings. Louisiana Tech, 4-1 on the season, 2-0, got a big win down in Houston. In every season, there is a win that you should have lost in, right? You pull it out, and that's how you know you have a good team, right? Like, you know, by all means, right, if everything went straight, we should have lost this game. But we got a lucky bounce, we got a lucky touchdown, lucky call by the ref, whatever, right? It's better to be lucky than good, right? There's been a lot of good teams that haven't had the luck, and, you know, they're sitting on the sideline, or their name is not in the record book. So if you're Tech, you feel good, right? 23-20 winners over Houston, over Rice in Houston in overtime. A good Rice team, right? A team that I think Mike Bloomgren has that team getting better every week. They are, somebody say, the nation's best 0-4 team. That has some truth to it, right? They nearly beat Army, or they stuck with Army. They're pretty good with Army. You know, they played Texas, they played Wake Forest, and, you know, they gave Tech a game in this one, and you can see them, you can see how they're probably going to beat UTEP, right? They're probably going to beat UTSA. And if they catch, like, North Texas sleeping again the way that North Texas has been sleeping, you know, they might get a win there, right? So Rice is on their way up. This is the kind of win that you're excited about, right? This is a trap game for Louisiana Tech. Going down to Houston gets a good team. It's easy to lose that game, right? Like, the stadium's old. No one's really paying attention to this one, at least not nationally or anything like that. So easy to get caught slipping. You come out of this, right? You're not going to apologize for winning. You're 2-0 in the conference. Well on your way to making some noise, challenging for, you know, the West Division title, something that slipped away from you last season around this time when you lost at home to UAB, right? So you feel good about it. Jamar Smith, who will be missed in Louisiana Tech, in Ruston, when he moves on, because he's a good quarterback. There's a lot to criticize him about him, right? He doesn't always show up every game. He's not always the guy. He's not. Basically, you're comparing him against his potential every week, right? And I think that's the biggest concern about him. But he can make plays like this, right? Steps up in the pocket, makes a right read so that he's not going to force anything into the end zone, maybe turn the ball over, lose the game. He steps up, and then he can, you know, burst through the line, break a tackle, score a touchdown. I think, you know, he's often called maybe a second, third quarter, best quarterback in the league, right? Maybe he's forgotten about after James Morgan stepped up and played very well last season. But here's the thing, right? I watched a lot of Mason Fine. We've all have, right? He's played there 4 years now. He has a tendency to fumble. I think he fumbled the ball against Houston, and this one he ended up scooping it up. But I remember last year against UAB in that big game, Mason Fine ends up fumbling, running deep in UAB territory. That's the difference, right? That's where if you say, man, I wish we had like a Mason Fine on our squad. Yeah, I think everybody wishes they had a Mason Fine on our squad. But I think this is where Louisiana Tech fans can say, hey, having Jamar Smith ain't so bad either. So, big win down there. Louisiana Tech's 2-0. They're on a bye week. They get to rest up a little bit. I think you're maybe a little concerned that was it Justin Henderson didn't run so well. He had the big week a couple weeks ago. Got bottled up. They were kind of – the offense had some struggles. So, you get a week off, retool. Maybe everybody just needs a refresh, right? You don't need necessarily a whole new offense in a bye week. You just probably need to rest up and figure some things out, heal up a little bit. You get UMass after that. But Louisiana Tech is in a good spot right now. All right. How about Southern Miss? Remember I talked about how difficult it is to go down to Houston and play in that game? It's very difficult to go out to El Paso playing a game. I think I saw somewhere that the Golden Eagles there had like the fifth longest travel this week. It's like over 1,000 miles from Hattiesburg to El Paso. They looked like they didn't mind, like they didn't care. They're going to jump out to a big lead and you know, kind of display some of the talent. that they have on offense there, right? You know, Jalen Adams is amazing. Quez Watkins is amazing. Hey, Jack Abraham, who we're high on, right? We said he probably throws way too many interceptions. This is one of those games where it was likely, I guess, that he would throw an interception, right? But no interceptions in this one. Three scores. Was it D'Anthony? Is it D'Anthony Harris? He looks good. He looks dangerous. Southern Miss looks like the best offense in the West Division, right? We thought that was going to be North Texas, but they had some struggles. We'll talk about them a little bit later, right? Southern Miss had that second tier, like, hey, you know what? If they can stop turning the ball over, right? Jack Abraham can stop throwing interceptions. They're going to be good. They have talent. They got talented wide receivers. They seemingly always have talented wide receivers. I think everybody kind of felt good about that, but you just thought maybe they had to get out of their own way. Well, it looks like they are, right? 31 points, 500 yards of offense. Maybe you'd like that to be 40, 50 points, but UTEP had a good defense last season. They're tough. They like to grind the ball. They hold the ball a lot. They run the ball not necessarily well, but they do run the ball a lot. That takes up a lot of time. It can kind of throw you off your rhythm. But I think if Southern Miss gets in a game where they have to plan a track meet, like say against a UNT or something, I think they can go score for score and probably trade 7-for-3. Or 7-for-0 a couple times and come out with a win. Speaking of, right, bye week, then North Texas. So I'm talking about that game. That's going to be a fun one, a huge game, because you have North Texas, which was a favorite, right? And I always had North Texas as my third likeliest to win this division. I thought it was going to be like a Tech, a UAB, Southern Miss, maybe North Texas in the middle there, like at third place, kind of battling for it. And here's that test, right? Southern Miss, looks like they've put it together. They're at home. I think if you recall, it was like 2 years ago, North Texas went to Hattiesburg. This was back when Ito Smith was there at Southern Miss. And it was kind of a changing of the guard, right? Like, Southern Miss was still the best team. They had Nick Mullins the year previous to that, and they kind of struggled. So this one was Quadre Griggs that was leading them. They felt good about things. They jumped out to a big lead. North Texas comes back. I think Jalen Guyton had like 200 yards receiving. And that kind of shocked everybody. And it was sort of the beginning and the end of that little mini era of Southern Miss football. But now they seem like to be the team that is, you know, going to be good, right? Every team kind of goes through cycles. Southern Miss is cycling up. North Texas is going to graduate. Mason's fine. Nobody knows what they're going to be like next year. So this looks like a changing of the guard. We might see their graphs kind of intersect right here. And it would be, you know, fitting that it is in Hattiesburg, kind of where that happened 2 years ago. Well, here it is, right? 3-2 on the season. Played a couple tough games. Lost to Mississippi State. Lose to Alabama, obviously. You did score against Alabama, right? But 1-0 in the league. That's huge. 1-0 in the division. That's huger. Big time for Southern Miss. I like their squad. I like watching them. You know, I try to find them on wherever Conference USA has them playing. ESPN Plus, CBS, Facebook 2, whatever you want to call it. I'm going to complain a little bit at the end of this episode, so stay tuned for that, about CBS on Facebook, about Stadium on Facebook, and all these other things. I'll get to it. You know, just... I'm saving it for them. It wants to burst out of me right now. I want to just yell about it, but I'm not. I'm going to save it. Save it to the end of the show. Let's go through the rest of these teams. Western Kentucky, third place on the power rankings in Conference USA report this week. How do you say, right? How are they? We got a big win. Well, it was an ugly win, right? 222 yards total offense, right? This is like some 1930s stuff. Ty Story looked okay, right? But he only throws for 189. Conversely, Tyler Johnson threw for 181, right? And the big difference in this game was Tyler Johnson looked like he wanted to lose the game, right? He threw four interceptions. He probably should have thrown seven. It was pretty terrible. But UAB's defense, which is very, very good, kept him in this thing. And if you're a UAB fan or you're a Blazer fan, I know UAB was ranked number one in the power rankings last week. They're still very good, right? But you kind of, you're not feeling as good, right? You're like, look at our offense. We're throwing touchdowns all over. Tyler Johnson's second coming. I think one of these QB analysis kind of Twitter accounts that just kind of hypes up some of these quarterbacks sometimes was tweeting good things about him. I was tweeting good things about Tyler Johnson. He looked good. He's throwing the ball well, but this week he could not hit the side of a barn, right, as they say. It was pretty terrible. We'll probably see if we can't find some time this week to take a look at it. It's like every team's on a bye week. Was it Tech, Southern Miss, and North Texas? Who else is on a bye? Two other teams. There's like four teams. Like FAU's on a bye week. So we'll have some time this week. I want to take a look a little closer at some of these games, see what the hell happened to Tyler Johnson, third there. I know what happened. He threw a lot of interceptions, but why? West Kentucky's defense, all of a sudden, very stout, it turns out. The question is, do they have an offense? And this season, right, this season we talked about, it's a very bad Conference USA season. So, hey, that's not so terrible, right? It's not bad to be a one-dimensional team this season because everybody else is. Some of it, like, you know, like in boxing, right, where styles make fights. Sometimes you have offense, and then you're just like, well, whose defense is the worst this is? You'll figure that out, right? Western Kentucky has a good defense, right? UAB apparently has a good defense. You know, just powers through, and or does Western Kentucky have a bad offense, right? Duncan's out. Story was a question mark. It turns out one defense is better than the other, right? Western Kentucky is 2-0, right? You can win ugly. Nobody said you only get a trophy if you win and then you know you score 40 points a game. No, you win if you win all the games, right? UAB won some ugly games in the last 2 years, and so they cannot complain about losing to a team in a very ugly matchup. So there you go. Another team, speaking of, that is glad to just finally get some wins, especially in conference, is FAU. They lost this game last season, right? Big game in Charlotte. This was the unofficial game of the week, right? FAU at Charlotte. Charlotte is still the highest scoring team in the league at like 38 a game or something like that. They were in like in the 50s or 40s, I forget what it was. But, you know, they played Clemson last week and kind of got steamrolled. FAU played Wagner. Didn't really look so good. Lane Kiffin was saying, we didn't really play that well. There's lots to improve on. So this felt good for these Owl fans, right? The Eastern Owls. It felt good for them to see, like, Chris Robeson play well, to see the run game dominate. D'Angelo Antoine apparently is the best player in the league. You know, getting the ball anywhere, however you can. He's getting racking off big yards. I thought that FAU's defense pressured Charlotte very well. They pressured the run game very well. And they basically said, hey, Chris Reynolds, throw the ball, make a play. And, you know, Chris Reynolds wasn't ready for the moment. I mean, I like the way he's played so far this year. I thought he's made good decisions, and that's helped them, right? Not only just throwing the ball, but deciding when to pull it and executing the offense. In this particular game, he didn't do any of that. He threw, I think, 3 interceptions. He missed some open receivers. They had their opportunities. It was pretty bad. But, how was it? Will Healy said that, you know, they got to do a better job of getting Benny LeMay the ball. He's the best running back in the conference, and it's on him. You know, some of that is because they were just saying, we're going to take him away. And, you know, Chris Reynolds wasn't really there for it. But you can scheme past that. Some of that is a quarterback. It was a big moment for Will Healy, big moment for Charlotte. And, you know, they didn't pass. That's fine. You kind of get a pass on that because nobody really expected anything from Charlotte. I know I certainly did. They do have some talent. Alex Highsmith is good. Benny LeMay is good. You know, you don't expect him to get bowled over, but, you know, you kind of wondered, hey, Will Healy, it's great you did, you know, what you did over there. But now this is FBS, buddy. This is Conference USA. Well, he's acclimated to it pretty well. I like, you know, what they're doing. We'll talk a little bit more about Charlotte in a second. I like what they're doing. But FAU, they have questions about their kicker. They got to feel good about this whole deal. Everybody played well, offense, defense. They did allow 27 points, I think it was. You play middle after a bye week, so you have some time to figure some things out. Same way that Louisiana Tech gets to go into bye, work some things out. It's always great to go into bye with a win. You get good feelings. Everybody feels good. Practice as well. FAU is a good team, right? They have talent. They have good coaches. I think those two losses, right, against UCF, against Ohio State, where they just really looked awful, were not indicative of their quality, right? I mean, those teams are pretty dang good. So three straight wins for FAU. they're in the hunt, 1-0 in the league. And again, if you look up and down the East Division, you say, which team, you know, can stop this offense, right? You look at Marshall and you say, maybe them, but then you saw what happened to them in Cincinnati. You look at what? Charlotte was like a contender. FIU is, you know, self-imploded. They're 0-2 already. Not a whole lot of teams there. You think this team is definitely better than us. I think FAU can even afford a slip-up in the league and be fine, especially if it's a West Division one. If it's in division, then maybe, you know, you're kind of unlucky. But, I mean, they beat one of the contenders for the East Division title. You know, you got Marshall coming up, but Marshall has big question marks. So I think FAU is feeling good right now, and they are my favorites to get out of the East right now. Let's talk about Marshall. I brought this up. We talked about Marshall North Texas a little bit together, but I have North Texas a little bit further down in the rankings. Marshall hosted Cincinnati. They were supposed to kind of show out as an AAC team coming to town. Big crowd there, and they laid an egg. 52-14 was the final. The offense didn't do anything of note. Everything was terrible. It was an awful game to watch. Isaiah Green looks bad at quarterback. You know, it's a far cry from where Marshall was just last week, right? They beat Ohio, or 2 weeks ago, and a far cry from where they were against Boise State, right? You felt like, hey, this offense is bad, but the defense is great, right? Maybe even the best in the league. So, you know, they have a chance. Again, you can be one-dimensional in this league. You have a chance. But when this defense got sliced up the way they were, and the offense still was not doing anything and kind of compounding the problems by giving short fields, et cetera, you don't have any chance, right? It's the opposite of like North Texas, which is, I thought the defense would be kind of young and learning and getting better, and the offense would be the one that needed to score 40 every week, right? And if the offense struggles, well, then it's over. So what was going to happen? This was a bad game overall, and, you know, it doesn't inspire hope. As I just mentioned, if Marshall plays like this against FAU, well, they're going to get blown out, right? Right now they go to Middle Tennessee, and they play over there in Murfreesboro. I'm not super confident in either of these teams. You know, Asha O'Hara and Middle Tennessee don't look really good right now. I know that was a very good Iowa team. But it's not fun watching Middle Tennessee play any football. It's not fun watching Marshall play any football right now, especially when they don't have a defense. They don't have either side of the ball. It's not fun to watch them. I have Charlotte at 7th in this conference. I like, again, finish up my thoughts on them. I like where they're going. I like what they're doing. They need to figure something out, figure out the way to counter the focus on Benny LeMay. I think I wrote recently that they run the ball a lot on first down. They're a little bit predictable. But I thought what happened in this game was a lot of execution issues and not necessarily scheme. It looked like they knew where they wanted to go with the ball. They just couldn't get there. And that's all of it is. You can get better on that in practice. It looked like they came out with good effort. It just, you know, execution. And that's very fixable. That's, if you're a football team or any team, really, you want it to be execution because you always work on that and get better in practice. You don't want it to be effort, and you don't want it to be attitude. So good there. North Texas also hosted an AAC team in Apogee Stadium, set a record, and now fell to 1-4, I think it is, or 1-3, when they have the record-setting crowds at Apogee Stadium. Houston was the first guest at Apogee in 2011, and they beat North Texas then with Case Keenum, and here they are back in 2019, set the record again, and beat North Texas 45-26 without Derek King. Instead, Clayton Toon, brother of former North Texas quarterback Nathan Toon. Bet you didn't know that. You guys probably saw that on the broadcast, but I think North Texas fans saw that. Here it is. Seth Littrell has a terrible big game record, right? Now, if you're a North Texas fan, you say, well, we want to get wins in big games, don't we? Why are we paying this guy so much? Fire the coach. Well, that's an extreme way to attack it, but that is kind of the deal. On the other hand, you have, as a former North Texas guy, Marcus Trice, who said, you guys are crazy. This dude has been, he's got back-to-back 9-1 seasons, first time in I think, program history, three straight bowl games. You guys want success. This is success. You have to recognize it, or he's going to leave, and you wish he was back. That is very true. I think both things can be true at the same time. You can recognize that Seth Littrell and his staff have brought this team, consistent success, and also that he hasn't got the top of the relatively low mountain, short mountain, I should say. Bryce has a league title. They had a league title. David Bailiff brought him a league title, and he got fired after 10 years. He had one of the best runs in school history, and, they let him go. I don't think that conference titles or bowl games are the ultimate measure of program success, but I do think that they count, right? You can't just dismiss them. I'm not saying, hey, go fire Seth Littrell, but I do think that you got to start bringing it up. One time, two times, you're okay, circumstance. Three, four times, you're like, all right, I think we have a trend here, right? Last year's big game against Louisiana Tech, which was a program record attendance at Apogee, you lose on the final kick of the game, right? Amik Robertson, a baller, jumps in there, blocks a kick. I mean, that game could have gone either way, right? He makes a kick, you feel real good, narrative changes a little bit. Big game against UAB, you're up big, you kind of get hit in the mouth the second half, UAB pulls it out. UAB is a good team, they went on to win the title. I don't think you can be ashamed of losing against a title-winning team. Beyond that, you could say, well, maybe they weren't ready for that monster FAU team. Yeah, but that was a league title game, right? That was your chance. You didn't compete in two games against FAU. I think they got scored by like 80 points or something like this. So there are some questions, right? They lose a big bowl game against Troy, lose a big bowl game against Army, lose a big bowl game against Utah State. So, Utah State last season, right? Two out of three bowl games, you get blown out. Conference championship game, you get blown out. I can see how fans are like, when we get to a big game, I feel like it's pretty likely they're going to get blown out. So, question marks there. Here's the deal. Mason Fine, if you haven't been watching any of this, Mason Fine, he said that there's a receiver making a mistake on every play. That's not good. You expected this offense to be a lot more crisp, and it's not. Bodie Reeder was expected to jump in and enhance the offense, and instead, they're a question mark. So, what once was one of these programs that was expected to compete for a West title has questions at the strongest unit, right? The defense is getting better. They still look young. They're making young defense mistakes, right? Missing a gap, not recognizing a play quick enough, that kind of deal. But they have talent, and they're getting better. But the offense, which is supposed to have all the talent, a lot of experience, a lot of returning starters, not playing so well. Trey Siggers is still a baller, though. That dude's leading the conference in rush yards per game at like 119, and he likes to run through dudes. He's fun to watch. Moving on, Old Dominion, 1-3. I'm gonna talk about Rice a little bit later. Old Dominion's 1-3, 0-0 in the conference, and they are one of these teams that every time they lose, they feel like they get a little bit more respect, right? 24-21, right? Losers to ECU, but praises for Stone Smart and the effort, and the offense is struggling, but they play tough, right? They've been playing everybody tough, Virginia Tech. Everybody played them tough. I think that's kind of the reputation they're getting. And you start looking at what they've done in the non-conference and try to figure out how that translates to conference play. I can tell you right now, I don't know. This Old Dominion team is, an enigma to me, right? Like every week, you're like, they're going to kind of grind it out and make it ugly. And in games that they look like they are losing very badly or going to lose very badly, all of a sudden they're just, hey, you look up again, you say, well, Old Dominion's only within a score or within two scores, or if they get a stop here or if they get a first down, maybe it makes it interesting. That's kind of what's going on here, right? The one win they got against Norfolk State was an ugly win. Whatever game they play, it's going to be ugly. Coincidentally, so same could be said about Western Kentucky. So prepare yourself for either the ugliest game in FBS history or maybe the most beautiful game, right? Two negatives make a positive. Who knows? This week, that's who they play, Western Kentucky. Oh, did I not know that Charlotte has a bye week, then they play FIU. It's going to be a big game. Marshall, bye week. They play Middle this week, sorry. And then North Texas, bye week, then they play USM. Big game, sorry. Forgot about all that. number 10, Middle Tennessee, 1-3, 0-0 in conference. I'll just say this. I don't like talking about Middle because they're not fun to watch. They got dominated by Iowa. Unsurprising. Okay. They gave Michigan kind of a game a little bit there. Ashley O'Hara looked okay. But Middle is just not fun to watch right now. Their offense just looks terrible. And again, I know a lot of that is just the competition they're playing. But again, it's not fun to watch them only score 3 points and just be dominated throughout this whole game. As it is, you know, they host Marshall next week, and we'll figure out what Middle Tennessee is, right? They're kind of middle of the pack right now. They can go anyway, and they were a little bit like this last season. They have a good coaching staff. Ashley O'Hara has the talent there, but they just got to put it together. They're still kind of rebuilding after the Brent Stockstill era. They're still putting it together. Let's look at Rice. The best 0-5 team in the land, right? 0-1 in conference. They lose a heartbreaker to Louisiana Tech. There's not much to say that is different than every week. Oh, you know, just got to put it together. They're very close. They're right there. I think Bloomgren said this at Conference USA Media Days. Like, oh, we're very close. They're right there. We're just so close. Obviously, we want wins. But, you know, that doesn't tell you the progress of a team. All that is true. Next up, they travel to UAB. This is a very tough game, especially since UAB lost last week. I think Rice is still very one-dimensional. We always know they're going to want to run the ball, and even when they get good, or even if Bloomgren kind of turns them into what he wants in his mind, they're still going to be a run-first team, and the quarterback is really just kind of like a Wisconsin quarterback, right, where they just make plays when they need to, right? They're good enough to make a play, good enough to make a throw, but not really the primary driver of the offense, right? So Wally Green, he played some. I think Stewart Kidd played some. But, you know, not really amazingly well here. They will run the ball. They will, you know, sit there and run it. But you're going to run right into Garrett Marino. So I don't know how useful that's going to be. Again, Rice 0-5, 0-1 in the season. I think they beat somebody in this division, but I don't think it's going to be UAB next week. UTEP, speaking of moribund programs, 1-3, 0-1 in conference. And there's already some buyout talk right on the message boards. Dana Dimel, he was a questionable hire, like say outside the box kind of hire. He's a positive dude. He's funny and he remembers me every time he sees me, which is good in my book. But I think you know, this team, it's a tough situation, right? They tried to get some JUCO guys in there to kind of kickstart some of that. It was a lot of what Kansas State did. And Dimel's kind of following the Bill Snyder playbook a little bit, right? What do you do when you have a program that is hard to recruit to? Well, you get JUCO guys that have a hard time finding places to go, right? But it takes the right kind of alchemy to turn, you know, just disparate parts into a winning team, you know, in a short time. Kyle Loxley, talented, but can't really throw the ball, right? Jones, he has issues. They need a quarterback, right? And I said I followed a lot of North Texas for a while, so Mike Canales is very familiar to me, and I think the through line in the Mike Canales era was you like him, you kind of like some of his offensive schemes, and you're like, oh, that was pretty clever, but there's always some questions at quarterback, right? And that's the case here. I'm unsurprised that they're trying to figure out where, you know, a quarterback. But then again, I just mentioned Rice is trying to figure out a quarterback. You can say Marshall's trying to figure out a quarterback. Lots of teams are trying to figure out what to do with the quarterback. And UTEP they were good last year, but they had a really good defense. They graduated both the corners. Nick Needham's in the NFL now. I didn't expect them to do too much this season, but there's only so long that you can go losing games, right? I mean, you lose up all your goodwill, right? They're getting better. Don't worry, we're going to turn that corner. Unlike where, like, say, Rice is improving every week and there's still some frustrated feelings, but you still feel good. At UTEP, it just kind of feels like same old, same old. Like, maybe they're just flailing. I also think that nobody likes the way he does press conferences where, like, oh, yeah, you know, we're just right there. Some of that is going to get old. Moving on. UTSA didn't play this week. FIU didn't play this week. And, you know, they're still bottom of the standings. UTSA still doesn't have an offense. They're going to probably go with Lowell Narcisse again. And, you know, the defense is, I don't know, they got better at practicing this bye week, but they were the worst defensive tackling team that I saw in a long time. And, you know, you travel to UTEP, right? That is, that likes to run the ball and, you know, has a quarterback that can run the ball. We might see two teams that are kind of mirror images of each other, have some talent at running back, have quarterbacks that are better running than they are throwing and making, you know, decisions, reading defenses out there. And, I mean, I don't know. UTEP did score 13 against USM, and UTSA looks like they can't score against anybody, right? So I don't know what to make of this game. This is probably the best chance for both of them to get a win, and UTEP's at home, right? So you see where I'm putting my money. FIU, most talented 0-2 team in this conference. 1-3 on the season, 0-2 in the league. They play UMass next. Here's what's bad about it, right? Western Kentucky is not only beat them, right, in that game, but they are 2-0. That means that FIU needs to make up two games, right, on Western Kentucky and hope that Western Kentucky lose a third game, because right now Western Kentucky has a tiebreaker against them. And if you're wondering why I'm talking about East Division titles here, because that's still the goal, right? FIU still needs to compete for that, right? You got to basically win out the rest of the way and then hope Western Kentucky stumbles twice. Stumbles three times in this one. Truth is that you're probably just looking to get bowl eligible and find somewhere, and that's kind of how you're going to end your season. But right now, it's still open, right? Chance is still there, so you got to play for it. You play to win a game, right? You play the games to win a title. That's how it goes. All right, let's talk about this TV stuff, guys. So before we begin, I fully understand how the league found itself in this position. I fully understand the chance that they're taking here to try to get, you know, non-traditional viewing options for their fans. I think that CBS puts on a great broadcast, and when they put it on Facebook, it diminishes that broadcast. There was something like 5,000 people watching the game, the North Texas and the other game, and then 5,000 people watching the other game, the Marshall Cincinnati game. Not a whole lot there, right? You can see the Facebook Live. Everybody's watching. And I don't think that it's because they just don't like Facebook. I think it's because it's difficult to find. And I think one of the great things about linear TV is that you know the channel is going to be on, right? Hey, what channel is CBS Sports? I look it up. Boom. I put it on for me with like 312 or whatever it is, 315. There it is. It's playing, right? What channel is ESPN? Boom, 24, at least for me. There it is. Any of these other ones, right? You can say, well, ESPN Plus. Okay. Well, I can go to ESPN Plus app, right? Browse for it. I'm just looking for the logos I recognize. Done. Got it. CBS on Facebook. Okay. Facebook.com. Do I need to know their at name? It's on Facebook Watch. Where do I click on it? Is it obvious to me? I think some of the schools are doing, you know, some of the work by saying, here's the direct link to this, right? Click this link, watch it over here. But you already have to go find it, right? You can't just say, well, where is Facebook Watch? I know they're trying to build that and whatever else, but it's not so easy. I'm one of the most online people that I know, and some of the other more online people that I know had difficulty finding these games. And, yeah, some of that just getting the word out or whatever, but I think also when you go to browse it, it's not immediately obvious where it is, right? I can click the link. I see that there's a little video playing. It says, hey, right here, it's Marshall in Cincinnati. I'm like, okay, cool. Where can I click to kind of get ready to watch this North Texas game so I can open up a new tab and have it ready to go? I don't know. I see another one. I click that one. No, that's not it. This looks like an ad. Am I waiting for the broadcast? It doesn't tell me, hey, watch this right here. There was, you know, like the caption on it, on the actual video did tell you that. But when you're looking on the page on videos to choose, some are just highlights, highlights, highlights. Oh, there's the game. Highlights, highlights, highlights. It's not immediately obvious, right? It doesn't say, hey, come watch the game over here. And I think you lose people that way. Now, that's the CBS on Facebook one. Better broadcast. It's, you know, if I have to watch a game produced, shown on Facebook, I want it to be a CBS produced one because they do a great job. Looking at the stadium one, is just as awful, right? You have that awful, you know, same, just go straight to Facebook. You go to Facebook/WatchStadium. What are you looking at? It's not immediately obvious. You go to stadium.com. It takes a second for all these videos to load, and you don't know what you're looking at. Turns out you have to go top right corner. Again, not immediately obvious. Click Conference USA Network, right? I didn't know that was a thing. Nobody calls it that. When you get to that page, all the videos load first, or at least the thumbnails. Doesn't show you the schedule. You don't know that, hey, a schedule is going to load here, so this is just bad web design. By the time it does load, you don't know exactly. It's not immediately obvious what you're looking at. There's a list of games. It doesn't show you that they're clickable. There's no icons that say click here to watch the video. It just looks like games. The one for Facebook says this one's on Facebook. Doesn't suggest that that's a clickable link, but I clicked it. Then it takes me to the game. All of this is not really easy to do, right? And again, I'm one of the more online people in this world. I do this kind of thing for a living. So I'm aware of the latest and greatest technological things in this world. That said, I cannot imagine what it's like for somebody that's less patient than I am, that's not willing to sit through it and click the links. And, I mean, that's an issue, right? That's why there's only 5,000 people watching, I think, in part at least. When Twitter was broadcasting these things, when Conference USA was doing a little bit of that, that was easy, right? You click the link. Hey, Going On Now has the game on there already, and you can watch it while you're tweeting. A lot easier that way. ESPN Plus, a lot easier. Again, ESPN 3 or watch ESPN, whatever the previous iterations were, very easy. Very easy to use. I hate the Facebook thing. I hate the way that they broadcast it beyond that, like trying to read me Facebook likes and comments. I don't care. If I wanted to do that, if I wanted to browse Facebook while I'm watching the game, I can open up Facebook and watch the game and do that. You don't need to read me what the guy just wrote. It'd be like if somebody just reading live tweets on the air. I dislike that greatly. I mean, I can interact. I'm already tweeting. I don't need to have you read them to me. Whatever. That is my complaint of the day, I think. And as you can see, I was a little passionate about it, right? I don't know that it's going to get better. I don't know what the solutions are. It's not my job, really, to come up with those solutions, right? I can just say, yeah, I don't really like this so much. I watched a lot of Conference USA football, and my least favorite games are the ones on Facebook. So there you go, right? There's that. Is it better than Conference USA TV? Yes, infinitely. Is it better than, just locally produced, like team-produced broadcasts where they're trying to sell you the game for $10 for the rights to stream it? Yes, because that was basically just, well, Conference USA TV is just that wrapped in a league brand. But this is better, but only slightly, only just. I don't, like, watching Facebook Watch is not my, it's not my bag, man. I'd much rather watch it on linear TV because it's just easier, or, you know, like an app, a streaming app, so I can fire up Apple TV, load up that game, watch it there. That's great for me. It's easy for me, because I really don't want to be, you know, I want to be able to switch through, from these games easily. And, you know, like I said, it's fine if you're just watching it alone and, you know, laying in your bedroom or something like that. But it's not so easy the more people you want to get watching with it. It's harder to have a watch party. It can be done. I've done it before, right? Set up the stream, hooked up the thing to the TV at, like, you know, bars and things like that. But it's harder to get the casual kind of atmosphere in the way you can otherwise. And, I think if the league can work together to get, like, I mean, I don't know, like a regional kind of broadcast deal, that would be ideal. Something in the Southeast, or, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the options are. I thought I liked the American broadcasting, whatever that was, that they ended up becoming Stadium. I liked that because it was a series of networks that were local. And so you can get some of these broadcasts local. I think that's nice, especially, you know, like, so like UTSA was showing a lot of their stuff locally. You get some easy Conference USA games to watch, because really that's what people care about, right? They're crazy people like me that care about the whole league, but for the most part, people care about their team, and they don't really care if the stream is wonky if they can watch the game in their market, fairly easily on like you know, regular TV. That is, I think, how you build awareness there, where you're like, you're always clicking, and you're like, hey, well, there's always the local squad playing, right? As you're watching the big game on Fox, or you're watching the big game on ABC, you can switch over and watching, you know, Southern Miss, see what they're doing. You can watch Western Kentucky, see what they're doing. I think that's the way to do it long term. But that takes some negotiating power that I don't think the league has at the moment. That I don't think that the individual programs have at the moment. But hey, what are you gonna do? Ladies and gentlemen, as I said, please subscribe. Please click membership. Like I said, it's $3 a month. It's $30 a year. It is not really anything that's gonna set you back too much. You know, it's small enough to be forgettable, but it's big enough that it does help us do what we're trying to do out here. If you have any questions or anything, you want to contact the site, it's always there on the About page. You can get at me on Twitter, it's Conference USA Report. You can email me, you can send me a letter like a crazy person. Do it. Y'all have a good one. See you next week on the Conference USA Report podcast.